Hello and welcome to Finn Shots Daily. In today's episode, we talk about the European Super League and how it's thrown the world of football into turmoil. You're probably thinking, why a story on football when there's so much else going on around us? Well, because this story really isn't about football. It actually is about money. So please bear with us while we explain why this is a story that should concern you even if you weren't a fan of the sport. Football is perhaps the only truly global sport, and European football is the crown jewel. Each country in Europe has its own domestic league. The top league in England, the Premier League for instance, is the most widely viewed football league in the world. But despite all the glamour, an essential feature of the domestic league is that it fosters competition.
If you don't do well in the Premier League, you get relegated to the lower leagues.
And if you don't perform well in the lower leagues, you get relegated to the non-leagues. Alternatively, if you perform well in the lower leagues, you could be promoted to play in the top leagues someday. It's a neat structure that's built on the foundation of meritocracy. And this structure extends to all of European football. When you perform in England's top domestic league, you get a chance to compete in the Champions or the Europa League. All the top clubs from Spain, Germany, France and other European countries get a chance to be part of these elite competitions. They can compete to see who's the best in Europe, and this structure has prevailed for several decades now. However, the creation of a new European Super League threatens these very foundations. And to understand why, you have to look at the people in power. The major European competitions are currently administered by UEFA, one of six continental confederations of world football's governing body FIFA. And UEFA's internal club competition committee is responsible for drawing up policy prescriptions on the most prominent European competitions, that is, the Champions League and the Europa League, as the website notes. Amongst other things, the committee draws up recommendations regarding possible modifications to the existing competitions and to the regulations governing these competitions. But that's not all. They are also responsible for proposing models on the distribution of club competition revenues. We are talking about billions in potential income each year. And even though the top European clubs already exert considerable influence on how decisions are made, these clubs would argue that they should have an even bigger say on matters. We are talking about the likes of Real Madrid, Barcelona, Arsenal, Manchester United, and Liverpool. After all, they bring in all the money. People across the globe tune in to watch the Champions League and the Europa League because they are fans of these clubs. The broadcasting money, the ticketing revenues, the sponsorship deals, they bring in so much money, it's ludicrous. And they use this money to entice the top players in football, thus cementing their position as iconic brands. The owners here know this as well. Despite being the star cast, they are often forced to share revenues because they aren't the arbiters of these competitions. And if you're looking at this arrangement impassionately, you can see why there's every incentive for the top European clubs to bypass UEFA altogether. You can set up a separate league and ring-fence revenues, keeping it all within the group. And at a time when most clubs are reeling from financial constraints precipitated by the lockdown, the economic argument only provides more impetus. But there's more. If you don't perform well in the domestic leagues, you can't make it to the European competition. And if you don't make it to the European competition, you lose more money. Despite being top clubs and globally recognizable, the 12 founding members of the new European Super League aren't necessarily the best teams when you assess them on footballing merit alone. Arsenal hasn't made it to the Champions League in 4 years now. They simply haven't been good enough. And since the current competitions are built on the promise of meritocracy, there's every chance some of these clubs might not make it to Europe's top league each year. This is an economic disincentive. Think of it this way. A profitable enterprise is built on principles of economic certainty. Steady cash flows are an essential feature within any thriving business enterprise. Competition, meanwhile, at its very core, is an uncertain endeavor. It's why people love sport in the first place. The agony of defeat, the pure bliss of victory. These emotions can only emerge when there's uncertainty lurking around each corner. If you knew your team was going to win every time, you wouldn't watch sport in the first place, would you? So here we have economic incentives clashing with competitive proclivities. And when you have an impasse like this, something has to give. Either the competitive nature of sport triumphs or the economic incentives bulldoze through resistance. And it seems the founding teams of the European Super League are pushing through with their plans despite resistance from fans, players, coaches, critics, and even the government, believe it or not. The new European Super League will have 12 founding members, 3 additional permanent members, and 5 members who could qualify from the tournament via other routes. The permanent members will participate each year no matter how they perform in these competitions. They will have guarantees on how to share broadcasting revenue, and they will likely keep a lion's share to themselves. And while this might improve the financial health of some of these clubs, many people believe it will destroy grassroots football forever. FIFA and UEFA have currently threatened to bar all players from playing in their competitions, including the World Cup, if they participated in the newly founded European Super League. Imagine what you would do to these other competitions. The domestic leagues would be crippled. Without the best players competing in the World Cup, interest would wane. Football outside of the European Super League might be rendered meaningless and stripped of all its glamour and panache overnight. It's a disaster for football. Why are FIFA and UEFA threatening the players, you ask? Well, because the European Super League poses an existential threat to both these organizations. It's a breakaway league created by a small coterie of businessmen who will likely prioritize their own self-interest above all else. If they don't nip this in the bud, other competitions might have to play second fiddle. Every football club that isn't part of this elitist group will likely have to be subservient to the needs of the select few. It's a dystopian nightmare. Meanwhile, Florentino Perez, the chairman of the Super League and the current president of Real Madrid, had this to say when quizzed about his motives for creating a Super League. "Everything I do it for the good of football. 40% of young people aren't interested in football because there are too many games of low quality, and we had to adapt." He then took a dig at UEFA, stating, "It's over. Their monopoly is over. It's time for a new era." Sure, UEFA might have been a monopoly, but the current structure isn't any better. A cartel of 12 clubs deciding what's best for football is just that, a cartel. They are not answerable to the fans. They are not answerable to the players. They are perhaps only answerable to themselves. That can't possibly be good for the game. The British Prime Minister, meanwhile, has chipped in, suggesting that they are looking at introducing regulations to prevent the formation of the Super League. Insiders, however, are suggesting that the top teams are already prepared for a protracted legal battle to protect the status of the newly founded league. It is quite unbelievable, really. Within 2 days, a few rich businessmen have managed to throw the world of football into turmoil. The concentration of power in the game of football is now there for the world to see. You don't matter, the players don't matter, the game doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is money. Thank you for listening to today's episode. FinShots Daily is available on a bunch of streaming platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. So make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Until next time.